Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here we go with the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. He's Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a brand new blog that popped up over there this morning, so head on over there, catch up with what's going on. And, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
Well, you know, Dan, I don't know if you knew this and just forgot to tell me or, you know, what happened, but apparently hell froze over last night. The Lakers lost game one of their playoff series to the Portland Trail Blazers, and everybody appears to be insanely up in arms about this. They got beat 193, and if I heard correctly, I want to double check this if I can pull up the stat line here really quick. Yeah, they were a whopping 5-32 from 3-point range. Dan, you could probably do that accidentally. So they had a really bad night when it comes to shooting the three there. You know, as you can guess, you know, the media is all up in arms. I have no concern at all because I know the NBA wants the Lakers in the finals and would probably prefer for them to win the title. So I have no issue with this at all. It's just a loss, and, you know, the NBA is going to make sure they get through. Are you on the ledge like a lot of these reporters were today about the Lakers getting knocked out in the first round?
They're knocked out?
No, it's just the start of the playoffs. It was just game one. But are you worried that they're on that road?
Not really. I mean, what does it matter?
Well, it's the Lakers.
I'm not worried. Yeah, I know. I mean, they haven't been there since Magic Johnson was playing, so what's the big deal? Or Kobe. It's game one. You know, calm down, get off the ledge, and if you're really
Lakers are supposed to lose playoff games.
Yeah. Or you mean LeBron's not supposed to lose playoff games, even though he's been to the finals for the last 10 years and only has one title, three titles to show for it. So, I mean, it's, you know, something like we talked about yesterday where baseball is the most disappointing sport if you're playing it, technically. But, you know, I would say the Kings holds that title, right?
Does he?
Pretty much. I mean, how many times have you been in the finals?
Basically,
I don't know. Since 2012? It's been since 2012, right? 11 or 10?
Has it?
I'm looking. I don't know why. Why is it such a big deal? It's game one. Like, calm down. Do you really need that much to write about?
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, it's, you know how it is when it's the Lakers. You know, they're supposed to. You know, they're supposed to, you know, roll through everything. You know how it is. But yeah, I just, you know, I got a kick out of it. I thought it was kind of humorous, you know, that they all, you know, just went ape crazy because they, you know, they dropped the game and it was like, oh no, the it's like Chicken Little talking about the sky falling. So I got a you know, big kick out of that. It was just like, okay, here we go. You know, then the humorous thing, of course, is when they win game two, they'll be like, oh, yeah, everything, you know, everything's fine, nothing to see here. So.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, like I said, you know, they're not, you know, the NBA's not going to let the Lakers not get into the finals. You know, it would take an act of God, you know, for, you know, it would need a LeBron James injury for the Lakers to not get into the finals, because then the NBA would have to shift to a different superstar they want to showcase in the finals, you know, be it a Kawhi Leonard or Antetokounmpo or whoever, you know, whoever they might decide to shine that light on. But, you know, as long as they're shining the light on, you know, LeBron here, it's going to be the Lakers, and that's just how it's going to be.
Yeah. Excuse me, going back, it looks like, because Basketball Reference doesn't actually break it down. They just give you playoff totals. But I'm going to go by the most games played. And it looks like he's basically been in the finals, like I said, for, well, you know, next season will be 10 years. But since the 2010-2011 season, he's made it to the finals. Three rings, so that's 9 years. So, I mean, at the end of the day, when he gets put on the pedestal and the Mount Rushmore of NBA players, with that record, I mean, how is that? No one's going to look at it. You know, no one's really going to care because he's the king. But at the same time, isn't it like kind of disappointing that you go to the playoffs 9 years in a row and only have three rings?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know, on the plus side for him, he's gonna end up with more than, you know, that. But yeah, well, you know, last year was the first year he didn't go in. What was it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, I think he went 7 years in a row or 8 years in a row.
No,
I think it was
even,
seven.
No, since 2005, 05, 06 with Cleveland, he's gone to the playoffs.
Well, he's been in the playoffs every year. It's just the finals.
Yeah.
I think he's been to the finals 7 of the last 8 years.
Yeah, no, it's, well, I mean, the way it looks like, it's literally from 2010 up until last year. I didn't even make the correlation.
Well, I'm looking at it here, and I don't believe he was on that 2011 Miami team that lost there. Or no, he was on that Miami team that lost to Dallas, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So he's been to the finals from, you know, one, two, three, four, five, six, eight of the past 9 years he's been to the NBA Finals. Last year was the first year he hasn't
ever
been there. And I feel like I guarantee they're going back again this year. There's no doubt in my mind that the NBA makes that happen.
Yeah, I mean, he's been to the playoffs pretty much. I think that's a pretty nice streak, though. You know, to go from 05, 06 season all the way through 2017-18 through the finals, or through, you know, to make it to the playoffs every single year for 12 years. But, you know, lucky number 13 kind of didn't allow him in.
I'm trying to remember. I don't think he ever missed the playoffs with the Cavaliers. You know, I think they made it every year since they, you know, when they drafted him.
Looks like he came in 2003-04, and they didn't make it in the first two seasons. But after
he's been in the playoffs for what, every year for the past 15 years or so. Obviously it's been quite a run, and it's not over. I mean, he's definitely going to have, as long as he wants to stay with the Lakers, they're going to continue to get into the playoffs. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. So. That'll continue on. I mean, I don't know how many championships they'll actually win, but they're going to get their share. I mean, there's no doubt about that. So it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out or whatever kind of goes that route, but they're. It is weird when, you start looking at it and you think that he's been to the finals 8 times and he only has 3 titles. Mm-hmm. So, you start comparing him to the other greats, and it's like, because obviously everybody wants to compare him to Michael. Well, Michael never lost a final. He's 6-0. So, you got to kind of wonder where that ranks and when does that start to become important, when they start talking about these guys. But of course, it'll be what it always is. They'll just, sweep it under the rug and pretend it didn't happen. And, it'll be like, well, that doesn't really count. That's this or that. So that'll be like, great. But yeah, I just thought it was kind of humorous the way they reacted, like the world was coming to an end because the Lakers lost. What I honestly think was the bigger deal that nobody really made more than a passing mention to yesterday was, the Bucks got beat by the Orlando Magic in their first playoff game, and the Bucks really, they dominated the Eastern Conference. So, you would have thought, Orlando ended up 7 games under 500 for the season while the Bucks were 56-17. But yet, the Magic beat them 122-110. I do wonder, do you feel that no fans and no home court advantage affects any of this?
Not, I think minimally. It's one of those things that's, I think, more about the background noise that you're used to. I think it definitely affects Toronto more than anybody because, you don't have Drake on the sidelines.
Right. I'm surprised he hasn't snuck in. So,
yeah, I know.
I'm
surprised he wasn't included in the bubble.
He might be. It's not over yet. Maybe he'll be one of those, when they get to the next round and they start allowing visitors, maybe he'll be one of the guys they let in. So, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I kind of take it back to, when we wrestled. When you think about it, there was a difference when there was 25 people there compared to like 200, in that realm, because it's just quiet. And I think that's what makes it a little bit more difficult, is it's so much more quiet, where I think you can attest to this too. Once your music hit and you walked out to the ring, yeah, there were people there. And, for you as a baby face, you're slapping hands, shaking hands, or giving high fives, where, as a bad guy, I was out there just yelling at everybody and anybody and, reminding them that they paid to see me, not the other way around, because I'm a jerk like that. But, but at the same time, I didn't really pay attention to who was there. It's like I knew people were there, but I didn't really know. than anyone was there, you know? So I wonder if that's how, you know, the NBAers, the, you know, the hockey guys and the baseball players are, where they're just missing that background noise, very loud noise, to be honest.
So, yeah, it is interesting to kind of, you know, like I know with like the hockey guys, I always kind of felt it had less of an effect because, you know, there's a partition. Yeah, you know, there's something in between, you know, themselves and the fans. But, yeah, you know, with like, you know, and especially the NBA, I mean, they have a, you know, what would be considered a really an up-close and, you know, kind of personal relationship with, you know, these fans because, you know, they're right there, obviously. I mean, you know, they're all, you know, just kind of like, hey, here we go. You know, look at this, you know, look at what we got going on here. So, but yeah, it's like, oh, okay. I don't think it has too much of an effect, but you know, it was just, you know, it is always something you kind of wonder, you know, and I know what I found kind of fun and kind of interesting is Jimmy Butler is like literally creating feuds for himself. And I'm guessing it's just what he's using as motivation. Apparently what I heard is in yesterday's game, one of the Pacers assistant coaches said something to him and he just took it and used it as, you know, his kind of fire to play, almost, you know, a lot like Jordan used to do. You know, I mean, he would take anything you said to him and, you know, try to turn it against you, even if it wasn't a negative, you know, he would try to turn it into that. So I, you know, cause I know he had a, you know, Butler's had this ongoing feud with, I believe it's TJ Warren who plays for the Pacers. Cause Warren had a really good game in the bubble and Butler was just kind of like, you know, he just kind of wrote it off cause you know, it was the bubble and it didn't mean anything. So, you know, they had a little back and forth and, you know, he was using that as, you know, part of a feud. So, you know, I guess it's just, it's kind of how guys work, right? I mean, that's kind of what you used when you were wrestling and, you know, you kind of feed off that energy. So he's just looking to, you think he's just looking to find some energy?
Yeah. But I think you're right, too. He seems to kind of establish those negative bonds. I don't know how you want to portray it, but fuse, I guess. I guess we'll go with fuse, right?
Yeah, they've been calling it fuse is how they describe it. So, you know, yeah, I just thought it was kind of a, you know, kind of an interesting thing for him to do, you know, especially in the NBA where, you know, everybody is best friend.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, maybe he just needs
but,
a
you know,
fire,
what,
you know, something he learned from Tibbs.
You know, and while we are on the NBA, I can tell you that the Raptors won game two of their series with the Nets. So they are up 2-1. The Jazz currently lead the Nuggets 83-71 in the third quarter. Denver's lead in that series 1-0. And then there are two games tonight. We'll get the 76ers and the Celtics. Boston leads that series 1-0. And then we have the Mavericks and the Clippers, with the Clippers leading that series 1-0. Dan, did you catch the highlights of your guy Porzingis getting tossed in game one?
No, I missed that. I did read about it.
Yeah, apparently he really kind of got the short end of the stick from the refs. His first technical, he blocked the shot. And when he celebrated, you know, he did the fist pump. You know, and it looked like he was just kind of punching the air. And the ref called a technical on him because he said he was too close to the ref. And they, you know, the ref was like, well, he air punched at me. So he gave him a T. And I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. And then the second one, there was a little skirmish where, you know, the one Morris brother from the Clippers were involved. And anytime there's a Morris brother on the court, there's going to be some kind of skirmish. Well, they got into a shoving match, so they were both assessed technicals. So that was Porzingis' second technical, and he got taught. And I was like, man, he really got screwed. So, you know, hopefully they'll allow him to stick around in game two. But, you know, I know there are some reports here that he's been marked as questionable. He has right knee soreness. So they're hoping he can play. I don't know how in a situation like that this he doesn't play, because if they go down two games to none, they're not coming back against the Clippers. But I guess we'll have to see. That's the 8 o'clock game on TNT tonight, Dan, if you want to catch up with your guy Porzingis.
Of course.
You know, you can see what's going on there. But yeah, I just thought that was kind of interesting. And then switching up here, I heard something yesterday with baseball, and I was kind of interested to see what your take is on this, especially since the playoffs are like super expanded this year, and it's going to include 16 teams. Apparently, they're talking about their own bubble setup, where these games would be played, you know, in, I believe it would be two locations, one for the American and one for the National, but they would all be neutral site games. And then, you know, the World Series would be, you know, held at a third bubble area, also a neutral site. How you feel about that?
They're not going to have fans anyways. What's the difference? I mean, I don't understand the setup where, well, I guess it works today. You know, I mean, the Cardinals were the home team tonight in Wrigley for game two.
Well, that's because they're making up those stupid games that they missed in St. Louis.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not the end of the world. So, I mean, you know, like, there's no fans going to be there. What's, you know, what's really the point of, you know, what does it matter if it's somewhere else? It didn't make sense. So Monday was a doubleheader. Cardinals were the visiting team, Cubs, you know, in the first game and the second game, the Cubs were the visiting team. So why not just do it one way the whole day, whatever. You know, that's up to them, I guess. What do I care? It just seems kind of whatever. Did it give them better advantage? I don't know. You know, the Cardinals were the visiting team and they kicked ass earlier today. So we'll see what happens now. You know, if you kind of take a look at the standings, I mean, you know, we talked about this last week, and MLB has not updated their app yet to show the wild card run yet. But, you know, for me, you know, we had talked about, and, you know, I was like, Florida, just go to Florida. But, you know, Tampa is in the running. So you've got to wonder how they're going to go about it, you know, because if you want to get them in, I would assume you might as well do it in a dome. I don't see any point of trying to do an open-air stadium, you know, bringing it back to the East Coast to the Yankees or anything like that. So, I mean, I was going to say we can guarantee that Miami should be in the mix, but, you know, the fact that they missed so many games, they're still in second place. But, you know, can you go that route? You know, are you safe with going to Texas? Not yet. So is it going to be a spot where they're just going to have to wait until, you know, closer to the middle of September to figure out where they're going to be able to do it? Because you still have, you know, if you look at the standings, what are the odds that they're going to do playoffs in Pittsburgh, you know, just for the National League? You know, are you going to do it in Washington? I mean, I'm picking the last place teams. Are you going to host the National League in Pittsburgh, Washington, or San Francisco? You know, I mean, California, yeah, that sounds great, but San Francisco doesn't always have the greatest weather. you know, American League, you go with the last place teams. You can go host it in Boston, KC, or Seattle. I don't think so. So neutral site or not, I mean, as long as the Astros are in it, I think you can keep them out of the Minute Maid Dome, right? So they don't have any garbage cans, but you hear them this time. So, it seems very difficult for them to determine where they would want to go with it. You know, everyone's still in a pretty solid position. And what difference would it make if you had, you know, the American League playoffs in Tampa and the National in Miami? Do the Rays really have that much of a home field advantage?
Yeah, well, you know, let's be fair about this. There's no way in hell they're going to Florida because they can't control anything. So I doubt there's any chance whatsoever that one of the bubble areas would be, you know, would be Florida. You know, my guess is it's going to be, Rangers Stadium or, you know, Arizona or California. Obviously, you know, the difficult part is there's no domes in California, and it does look like the Dodgers will probably make the playoffs, but you can always play in Anaheim because it doesn't look like the Angels will.
Yeah, well, there's that.
So, but yeah, so you know, we'll have, you know, like you said, I mean, they can go, you know, basically to any dome, you know, and get this done as long as they can, you know, get the, I guess get the hotels that they need, you know, would be the difficult part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make sure whatever area could handle the volume of people that's going to be there.
Well, you know, and wouldn't it be something if the Ricketts or the Cubs were in petition to try to get them to host here? I know it's supposed to be a neutral site, but, you know, they have a pretty nice hotel, right, that the Ricketts built, so wouldn't that be some great revenue generation?
Well, you know, could they, you know, put the players up in Chicago and drive them to Milwaukee?
Huh, yeah, that's not a bad idea.
You know, what's it take to get Milwaukee on a bus now, what, an hour?
Yeah.
You know, would a major league player be okay with that though, or would he cry about having to sit on a bus for an hour?
He'd probably cry.
You know, because obviously, you know, you could always do something like that because, you know, obviously, you know, Milwaukee, you're going to be able to play anytime or. But yeah, you know, I mean, they, you know, we've seen that, you know, basketball and hockey have been able to accomplish it. So there's, you know, there's no reason baseball shouldn't be able to. You know, I mean, you know, the biggest question I think is, you know, obviously their union is a lot more difficult to deal with. You know, and when they suggested this idea originally, you know, the players had a lot of complaints about being away from their families. But again, the basketball and the hockey players have managed to do it, so you wonder why the baseball players can't do it.
Well, and the other
thing,
what's completely different for Major League Baseball compared to basketball and hockey, and I don't know if things have changed because of, you know, the bubbles, but Major League Baseball doesn't stretch out a playoff season over 3 months. You know, it's literally done in a month. You know, maybe as opposed to 4.5-5 weeks, we'll have 6.5 weeks, you know, because of the expanded playoffs. But, you know, even that, they expanded the playoffs, but it's not like expanded NBA playoffs where the first round is a joke to begin with, yet it's still a best of seven where Major League Baseball is doing best of three, right?
Yeah, is that what I forget? Yeah, I think the first round is best of three. It's best of three, best of five, then best of seven the rest of the way.
Yeah, so I mean, I think they're still in tune for roughly 5 weeks of baseball. And yeah, I think it would suck, you know, being away from your family for that long. But let's be honest, only two teams are going to be away that long. And not only that, but Jack, did they forget about the fact that the time that they're usually gone from, you know, sometimes early January, but pitch, you know, reporting to duty in February all the way through October, where, you know, if they didn't take off and go to, you know, their facilities in Florida or Arizona in February and stayed there. And I heard there was a couple guys that had done that, but not a lot did that. And you didn't start baseball until July. Like, you were home February, March, April, May. Did the season start in June or did it start in July?
It didn't start till August.
Oh, geez. So, I mean, look at that right there. You know, roughly 5-6 months that they've been, you know, at home and everything. So, you know, if that was, again, if that was an issue, then why didn't you just opt out?
And the weird part is, I mean, you know, you're talking about guys who, let's face it, you know, how much are they really home, you know, as it is? So I don't, you know, and again, I kind of see this more as a union ploy because they want something, you know, they want some kind of guarantee, you know, instead of, you know, whatever they would normally be getting. You know, they want more money or they want a bigger share of the playoffs money, you know, or however that works out, because let's face it, that's what the union does, especially the baseball players union. But yeah, I don't see why it would be that big of an issue, you know, as long as they can get the, you know, like I said, can get the, you know, kind of the hotel area booked, like, you know, both the NHL and the NBA managed to, but they had a little more time to plan theirs. So, you know, you would think they could at least follow the example and get it set up, couldn't they?
Yeah. It's being done right now, so it's not like you don't have.
Right. But yeah, that's, you know, that's one of the odd, you know, odd things we'll have to see. But in some other, you know, Dan, I have to say this is kind of disappointing to me. I saw today that the Mariners have designated Daniel Vogelbach for assignment. So he's, you know, it's the deal where, you know, they have 10 days to either trade him or release him. You know, I think he can accept a minor league assignment. You know, obviously, he's off to a terrible start, Dan. Looking at his numbers, he's played in 18 games. He's just got 5 hits, and he's hitting .094. You know, I didn't realize, you know, he had a 30 home run season last year, but I didn't realize he only hit .208. So, you know, the average never really came around for the guy. He's a .196 career hitter. You know, is this the end? Does he end up in Korea next year or Japan, or do you possibly see another major league team actually looking at him?
No, I mean, how far along is he? I mean, was this like season number 7, 8?
Well, this would have been actually, this would have been his 6th year. This is his 6th year in the majors. But he's only had one full season. That was last year.
Oh, okay.
Oh, actually, it's only his 5th year. This is his 5th year. Yeah, he played 144 games last year. Before that, he never played more than 37. You know. And then I guess the other thing, you know, are you surprised? You know, he's only 27 years old. Are you kind of surprised with the situation the Mariners are in, that they gave up on him? Or they're giving up on him?
Yeah, but, I mean, is it time for them to move on and try to rebuild again?
Yeah, God, I hope not. They're still in the middle of this rebuild. So, you know, they also outrighted veteran reliever Brian Shaw, but he's actually going to the alternative training site. God, they need a better name for that. But yeah, Vogelbach, we'll have to see if, you know, he ends up out there, or, you know, what kind of happens to the guy. But we'll, you know, we'll see how, you know, we'll see how that one goes. But yeah, that, you know, like I said, kind of, you know, kind of sad, Dan. You know, he's a chubby left-handed hitter that, you know, you got to kind of root for, or at least if you're a chubby guy like me, you got to root for him. So it's disappointing to see him, you know, kind of get shipped off.
Yeah, well, he was the Cubs' original Kyle Schwarber, right?
Yeah, or originally, you know, obviously didn't quite have the batting average, and in all honesty, had no chance of playing because he was stuck behind Anthony Rizzo. But you know, you could kind of look at it that way.
Yeah, well, then he was considered for both. I thought he was considered for both corners. Or was that Mike Ault that was supposed to be the third baseman?
Well, that was Mike Ault when they picked him up from Texas, that he was going to be that guy. So, because he was the washed-up prospect they got from the Rangers because he had some kind of eye problem and couldn't see.
Did he come? Yeah, maybe you're right. Oh, and then he went from the Cubs to the Sox. That's right.
Yeah, I don't remember which way he went. He played for both teams. I just don't remember which. Was he a Cub first or a Sox first?
No, he was with the Cubs first. And then the Sox ended up with him, and he bounced around. I mean, you know, that was another guy on Uncle Bob's list of futures. You know, corner man for the Cubs.
There was a long time when they couldn't find a guy to man that position, and, you know, unfortunately, now that they have him, everybody's ready to drive him out of town. So,
yeah.
But, yeah. Now, you know, hey, you know, Mike Ault actually hit 12 home runs with the Cubs in 2014. Of course, he did hit .160, but that's a different story. So.
Yeah, but batting average only matters to guys like you and I.
Right. Yeah, this is, well, makes feel better. He struck out 100 times in 89 games.
Mike Trout numbers.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll see how it is. But yeah, then in some other fun news for me, Dan. You know, I do that. I don't even know how I ended up getting involved in it. I got invited to somebody's Yahoo League. I think it was 3 or 4 years back, and it ended up being a freeze league where all you do is draft, and that's it. Your team's set for the year. So obviously, you know, you have to deal with injuries and all that other kind of crap. Well, you know, one of the guys I grabbed this year was last year's Rookie of the Year, Yordan Alvarez, because, you know, I mean, he had really good numbers last year. You know, they gave him the Rookie of the Year, even though he barely played a half a season, but, you know, that was decided as soon as he came up. So I grab a hold of him, Dan, and he played 2 games this year because of he was injured to start the season, came back and played those 2 games, and managed to get injured again. And this time, Danny's done for the year because he has a partial right tear in the patella tendon in his right knee, and he's going to have surgery, and that is it for Mr. Alvarez for this year. And it's also it for my stats that go with him in that league. So thank you very much.
Yeah.
Officially he played in 2 games, had 8 at bat, scored 2 runs and got 2 hits, but hey, one of them was a homer. He drove in 4 runs, and his other at bat, no surprise here, was a strikeout. So there you go. So yeah, just fun stuff, you know. And while we're on the season-ending suggestions here, Dan, I don't know if you ended up with Padres closer Kirby Yates in either of our leagues, but he is now expected to undergo season-ending surgery to remove bone chips in the back of his elbow. Technically, the procedure would take it would take 6 weeks for him to recover. So in a normal year, he would return to the team. the fact that it's 2020 and absolutely nothing is normal means he is done for the year. So, you know, if you were counting on him to be your closer, and he did have a league-high 41 saves last year, unfortunately this year you got six games out of him, all of 4 1/3 innings. He did get two saves for you. He also lost the game and posted an ERA of 12.46. So, you know, if you're in our league with 20 guys and you've just lost Kirby Yates and possibly Yordan Alvarez, good luck finding a replacement because there's not a ton of guys left. You know, if you're in that big 18 league that you always brag to your friends about winning, go ahead, go out and pick up the next all-star that's out there. You'll be just fine. But if it was Dan or I, we would be screwed. So,
pretty much.
So, yeah, just, you know. Now, you know, I guess looking at it, Dan, what's the bigger loss? Your DH outfielder who was Rookie of the Year or your closer?
Your closer.
Yeah, you know, I wonder who is going to end up closing for the Padres now. I don't know if they'll put Craig Stammen back in that role, and I know somebody got a save for him last night, and I'm drawing a complete blank on. I don't know why I saw it and I looked at it because I was kind of like, oh, okay, maybe I should pick this guy up, but I'm sure he's probably already on a team, so. I'll have to take a quick look here and see if they who got a save. Oh well, Drew Pomeranz has four saves, but it was actually Cal Quantrill who got the save last night. That's the name I was thinking of. So I don't know. Considering Pomeranz has no ERA in 10 appearances, my guess is he's going to do the closing. Don't you think?
Yeah.
But the Padres, have slipped a little, Dan. They're still over 500. They're 13-12. But unfortunately, out in the West, now that the Dodgers have righted the ship, 13-12 puts you in fourth place. So, yikes. It doesn't take long to tumble in that division, does it?
Does not.
But yeah, I don't know. We'll have to, we'll have to see how that goes. But now you mentioned, did you watch? I honestly didn't see any of it, but did you watch game one of that Cubs doubleheader? How did it turn out?
Oh, they lost.
Oh, okay. I mean, do you remember the score?
9-3. Still looking at this
atrocity.
God. Yeah, that's when Matt Carpenter started off the game in the first inning with a grand slam off of Alex Mills. For Alex Mills.
Oh. Yeah, because, you know, I know we had some other finals. There were some other day games. Believe it or not, the Red Sox actually won a game. I think that ends a 9-game losing streak. They beat your guy Jake Arrieta and the Phillies 6-3, and the Blue Jays picked up a win over the Orioles 5-2. So that's and I you know it looks like the Cubs did they start that second game? Do you have it on or because it looks like here they're saying they're in the bottom of the first.
Yeah, they're in the bottom of the first, and since you didn't give me a password, I don't have them on. I don't have.
Oh, okay.
What do you call it?
And then the Royals, you know, the Reds are actually playing again, Dan. They got a doubleheader with the Royals today, and Kansas City's jumped out to a 3-0 lead in game one there. So those are the games that are rolling along as of now. So you can catch up with all the other stuff, but. It was kind of funny, Dan. I think it was just yesterday we were talking about the Adam Eaton trade. You know, we mentioned that the White Sox got a lot of really good young arms in that trade. Well, humorously, the guy I mentioned to you yesterday, Dane Dunning is making his major league debut for the White Sox tonight against the Tigers as the starting pitcher. He was like the third pitcher in that deal. You know, it was Lucas Giolito, Ronaldo Lopez, and then Dane Dunning. So we're going to get to see Dunning tonight against another guy making his debut, Casey Mize. So I don't know, you know, are you buying a lot of offense there, being that it's two guys making their debuts? And should I have stacked my FanDuel lineup with Tigers and White Sox?
Yes, you should have.
I think I have Tim Anderson in my lineup, but I don't remember who else, Tiger or White Sox wise. I have Jonathan Scope. I remember that one. So, but yeah, other than that, I don't remember too many other guys. So maybe I'll have to go in. You know, the game doesn't start for a little bit. I can go in and make the changes.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Dan, why isn't the Twins lineup released? They got an 8-10 game. Their lineup should be out by now. All the other evening games lineups are released except for the Twins. I need to know if Miguel Sano is starting or if I got to get him out of my lineup. Well, the Brewers are starting a lefty, so I'm sure he'll probably start. I should be okay. It's just frustrating that they don't have the damn lineup out yet. They're killing me. Oh, hey, wow. Hey, here you go, Dan. Matt Harvey's making the start for the Royals in game two. Are you surprised that – yeah. Are you surprised that he's back? See, that choked me up. Jeez.
I didn't even know he was working.
Yeah, you know, I vaguely remember reading the Royals were going to take a look at him, but I didn't realize they had actually signed him and brought him along. So, yeah, we'll get to see Matt Harvey. You know, and just kind of looking around, you know, the Brewers-Twins game is a battle of ex-Cubs. It's Brett Anderson for the Brewers and Rich Hill for the Twins. Can I find another ex-Cubs starting tonight as pitchers? I think so. That was just kind of a fluke there that I wandered into that, but you know, we'll see. Has your fantasy year improved? I know yesterday you were kind of down, but you know, it's early in the week rally. So have you rallied back yet?
No, not at all. I don't know.
What's wrong with your team? Are you injured? What's struggling?
Well, you know, every time I try to make a trade, everyone wants to offer me crap. And then when I offer a normal
trade. Hey, I was just trying to get that GD. I don't want to hear that. So.
Well, you're not the only one. I mean, but you didn't even look at my team. I've got three shortstops. What do I need another shortstop for?
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to get
just, you know, like I said, I was just trying to give you your guy. That's the only reason I offered him to you. I got three shortstops. Otherwise, I would keep him. He's having a good year.
Yeah, well, I have three, too. So. I have Kettle Marte. You know, that's been one of the hard reasons. Like, I looked at your team, and it's like, well, neither one of – you don't have – and it goes both ways. You really don't have anything I need, and I don't have anything you need. So I was like, well, how the hell do we always end up in this situation? So, you know, and then – I've had some trades offered, and then they just reject them. You know, it's like, here, my guy I want to trade to you is ranked, you know, 750, while your guy's ranked 120. That's an even trade. So then I give him, send him back an even trade, and then I just get rejected. So it's like, do you not know how this game works? Like, I'm not a freaking idiot, and that's why all your trades are being rejected, not just by me. I don't know what the hell it is. I picked too many Cubs. Number one, as we looked at it, the only one who got a nice batting average and Victor Caratini, who went 0-3 this earlier today. But, you know, I picked up Jose Altuve thinking, oh, this is going to be a great pickup this year. And he's probably having one of the worst seasons of his career.
God, yeah, he just dang.
You know, and then with the Cubs being out for that week or however many games, that ruined everything. I just, you know, which league is this? Well, the Snake League, I've gotten my guys back, so I only have two guys on the IL now. But, you know, the Auction League, I have two position players, Giancarlo Stanton and Starlin Castro, which I was going to try to trade to you, but he's injured. And then I have Samardzija, Jordan Musgrove, Caleb Smith, and Ronaldo Lopez all out. You know, Rich Hill came back, so I did get him, put him back in the lineup today. Yeah, I just, I'm having absolutely no luck, none whatsoever. And I picked up way too many starting pitchers that I thought, you know, kind of going what we had talked about, and you're kind of basing that relief pitching would definitely pick up. The only problem was, everybody in our league wasn't thinking that same way, or at least the guys I've been going up against. And these guys pick nothing but starting pitching and just demolish me when it comes to starting pitching. So, I mean, injuries,
yeah.
COVID, this whole thing, this season just sucks. Like, I'm literally, I'm at the point where I am every season with the NFL where I just don't care. And this is quick. I mean, this is, it's, you know, like I told you before, and I think maybe that's one of the harder reasons, one of the reasons it's harder even to get into baseball again. You know, the season started late, so we weren't in that groove of just keeping up with it. But then to start off at in such a bad position and then knowing there's really no, there's no hope this season. You know, if this were May, I wouldn't be so kind of down in the dumps. Like, oh, you know, yeah, I'm in 18th place, but in baseball, I've been at the bottom and made it to the playoffs. You know, I may not have gotten a top five spot, but I snuck in, you know, with the last position. So I've done it before, but this season, I don't even see any hope. There's no hope.
Well, you know, I do think the one advantage is being a shorter season is if you can put together a couple dominant weeks, you can get right back in it. It's just being able to kind of get everything together to get back in it. Because that's where I was. I was just dead in the water. You know, the one team I have four or five IL spots full. So you can kind of tell how that year's going. And luck, you know, and the, you know, it's you know, I'm having that year where a guy comes off the IL, and I don't have to worry about dropping a guy or adding a guy because I can just put another guy on the IL in his place. So, you know, it's just been, you know, one of those kind of years. And, you know, like you got killed with the Cubs thing. I got killed by the Cardinals, and that freaking COVID-19 outbreak just crushed me for that, you know, week or 10 days or whatever it was they didn't play. You know, and then to make it worse, I had a couple Pirates, and they were supposed to play the Pirates. So not only did I lose my Cardinals, I lost my Pirates. And it was like, you got to be kidding me. You know, it's like, did they see me coming and just know, hey, here comes the Big Jack team. Let's screw this up for him. So I, you know, I don't know. It's just one of those years. But, yeah, you know, I had the same, like, you know, I think we have this every year. I had the same trade problem you did. I was negotiating with a guy who wanted to get rid of Walker Buehler. And I'm like, okay, he had a couple bad starts. I'll jump in and see what I can get. So I'm going back and forth with him on this, and we made about two or three trade offers for him. And you know, obviously I started out a little low because I just wanted to see if he wanted to dump him. He countered. I countered him. But he was just, you know, it was like he wanted two of my starting pitchers. And it's like, well, why would I deal you two starting pitchers to get one back? You know, and like the stuff he was asking for just didn't make a lot of sense. And I was like, dude, I have excess hitting. You said you were looking for hitting. You know, tell me what of the, you know, which one of these hitters you'd be willing to accept. You know, I'll give you a pitcher with a hitter, but I'm not going to give you my best pitcher with a quality hitter for one pitcher. You know, because that doesn't make any sense. And we just couldn't come to a deal. You know, and as far as I know, he hasn't been able to trade him to anybody else either. So I'm guessing he's just asking for too much. But it's like, why throw it out there if you're not going to negotiate in good faith?
Yeah, that's the hard part.
I sent you a good trade offer. It just didn't work because you didn't want Didi. And I'm sure he was crushed by that.
Yeah, it's not that I don't want him. Well, you want to take all my shortstops?
Sure, I could pair him up with all my shortstops. I didn't realize when I was putting that team together, I had three freaking shortstops. So
yeah, neither did I. You know, and that's the other thing that killed me is I didn't mean to pick so many starting pitchers, but I did. And then it's like when I'm coming up into these games, the guy I'm going up against has more starting pitchers that are all healthy.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, well, you got 50 innings and this guy's got 90. I'm like, 90 innings? Is your whole lineup just freaking pitching? Like, did you just pick 9 guys or, you know, 10 position players and the rest were pitchers?
Well, you know, my strategy going in was to stay away from starting pitching. So I'm getting buried every week in starting pitching, but I'm winning all the relief stuff because I have all the relievers.
Oh.
So, you know, because that's how I built my team. So, you know, like saves and holds and, you know, ERA, because, you know, as long as the reliever doesn't go out and explode, you know, they put up really good, you know, earned run averages. So, yeah, I know there's more starting stats than relieving. You know, like I'll never win innings pitch, and it's difficult for me to win. You know, I'm not going to win strikeouts because my guys just don't total up enough of that. So I have to make up for that in all those other categories. But, you know, I even went out and tried to find some starters. But, again, we're in a 20-team league. So the best I could do was, like, Derek Holland and Danny Duffy. So I'm just hoping for some innings. You know, and I'm glad I lowered the total because I would be dead in the water if it was still 34. But yeah, so it's been a rough start. I'm hoping it gets better. Like I know my one team kind of picked up last week, so I'm hoping the other team will rebound. But it's just such a weird year, and normally, and I don't know if you do this, but I'll set my lineup a couple days ahead, just to kind of get it out of the way, and then I'll try to go back and check it. If I do, I'm okay because my lineup's set. This year I find that I just can't do that, because there's so many roster moves and everything that's going on. I've got to be in there daily checking my lineup. Are you running into that as well?
Pretty much. I mean, I do set it for starting pitching sake.
Yeah.
But what I've also learned is that while it's great that Yahoo added the, set your lineup for the day or for the week, they just pick who they want. So,
right.
I mean, you could have the lowest tier guys all starting and, Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, Chris Bryant, Mike Trout are all on the bench. Yeah. And if you go in and,
wait, you're screwed.